Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the desire that you give us this evening to gather in your name, to spend some time together looking at your word. We ask you to be with us. Help us to pause in the midst of what all is happening in our lives and truly be searching and listening to your word and to one another. We thank you for this church, Father, and we thank you for the many others that are part of this congregation that are not with us. We ask you to bless and guide them as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I don't know about you, but that seems like something that could be could be on the doorpost every time I leave in the morning because of some of what's going on in the world today. And let me ask you this. Is it possible to not be anxious? Jesus said, don't be anxious. And I want to say this, Jesus, I do believe that Jesus will never ask of us something that he doesn't give us the ability to do, right? So on the one hand, maybe I should have let you answer. on the one hand, Jesus says this is something that we can do. But let me ask you, what's it like on a day-to-day, year-by-year basis to be able to avoid being anxious? I've had some conversations with some of you all here, and I've had some conversations at work with people, and I've shared with some of you as well. I find myself getting anxious at times, right? Sometimes with absolutely no reason whatsoever, right? So you ever get that? Sometimes you can't even really put a finger on what it is. But then there's other times that you can. But does this sound like pie in the sky idea of don't be anxious? Now be honest. If I hope this is a safe, you feel safe here to talk. What do you think about that? Don't be anxious.
One of the things that I have to accomplish throughout a year.
Yeah.
I was just with Joe, getting in my firewood. That's a thing in my mind.
Yeah.
Because I have learned that I may not be able to do it 2 weeks before winter. I may not be healthy.
Yeah.
So I want to stack the wood that's going to keep me warm all.
Yeah.
But I have learned to not get hyper about it.
Yeah.
Just flow into it, but it's still on my mind.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to your body and your clothes and your food and your drink, you're looking at it on TV constantly.
Yeah.
And it's just ingrained in you. And
yeah.
It's hard to get away from it.
You talk about this stirring of drawing you to want something different or something more. Is that what you're saying from what you're seeing on TV? Like advertisements of...
Yeah, want to lose weight.
Yeah.
I used to be really concerned about my body, I used to go to a gym and I just wanted to look so good,
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So now I'm kind of getting a little heavy and I wouldn't mind losing a few pounds to make it easier on my knees.
Yeah.
But yeah. I used to dwell on it far more than I do now. But it's hard to get away from it.
Yeah.
Just from
I can't help but think, and I say this because I've seen it in my own life, that I think there are some people, for some reason, there's something about God, the way God put them together, that they wrestle with this more than others. And I think that's true about many things in life, right? There's you are you who you are, and some of it is the way you were programmed at birth. Those of you who've raised children, there are certain things that you can't encourage it out of them. You can't beat it out of them, right? You can't. It's going. you know what I mean? It's going to be there. They're going to. There's things that my daughters I saw at a very young age. Almost before they're even talking, and you see part of that. Their personality, right? But yet I can't help but believe in based on what the words of Jesus says here. Each of us, wherever we are, we can get better, and I think we should still always work on getting better. Because I know if I find myself spending too much time in that on the shelf of anxiousness, or whatever you want to put that, in that mode, that it affects what I do and how I do and how I treat others. Right? And I think every one of us would probably look at this and say, yeah, I want that. Give it to me. But each of us has to kind of go through it ourselves in finding what it takes to get that. And ultimately, I believe it is my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting Him. But you know, those are words. There's a process. It's not that simple. It's not for me anyway, right? I know the Lord's there. I know He cares about me. I know He's going to see to my life, see to my death. He's going to be there with me. But I still find myself getting anxious. Yes, Angie.
We try to remind each other. If one of us is anxious or we're worried about things,
yeah.
Like, okay, remember you got sick. I know that I went through an anxiety thing here about a year ago, and it was just horrible.
Yeah.
And the Lord told me, I want you to sing a praise and worship song.
Yeah.
And after a couple of praise and worship songs,
yeah.
I forgot all about what I was being anxious about, because
yeah.
I was dwelling. He says to dwell on, Susan says this quite often, dwell on whatsoever's lovely, whatsoever's good report.
Yeah.
Dwell on these things.
Yeah.
Put this in God's hands and dwell on these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we always try to remind each other of these things.
Yeah.
And I think it helps if you have other people, hey, you keep in check. If you see me fretting and worrying about stuff, remind
yeah.
me. And I need
yeah.
to pray or I need to sing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
it's
wonderful to have somebody else that you have given them the right to
yes.
call you on that.
Yeah.
And thanks for the reminder of Philippians 4:8 too, because that's a verse too that I went to as well, and you just say it just reminds me, yes, it's very
well, isn't there another one that says be anxious in nothing but in everything by prayer and fasting?
Yeah.
Isn't that
right? Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Key of what we can do.
Yeah. 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 That's right. That's right. I'll just step out here and say that to be, I think to suggest that the moment you become a Christian that you'll never be anxious up until the moment you pass away is just that's not possible. We're still human. We still things come at you that you didn't expect and. You know, and I'm probably not the only one here. Sometimes that anxiousness comes about not only from your own decisions, right, but it's the decisions that other people in your life make or how they respond to what's going on, right? So their anxiousness feeds off. it's a cycle that you can get into. But we're going to talk about that in Luke chapter 8 in a process that it's towards the end of where we're going to get this evening, but Jesus spending some time with the disciples in a moment where they're anxious. So we'll talk about it a little bit more again towards the end of the study. Now look at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 16. Luke chapter 8. Can everybody hear me okay? I forgot about putting on a sound system. Can you guys hear me okay back there? Is everybody okay? Verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. So if you buy a lamp, you buy something that produces light, whether it be a ceiling fixture or something that you're going to set on the table, you have a plan for it, right? You had a reason for it. You're going to put it somewhere that it's going to bring value into what it does, right? When you bought it, whether you chose to buy it because of your own desire or maybe they advertise it to you, right? How valuable this is going to be to bring light to your area, or it's going to be attractive. But you put it out there with intention of it doing what it's designed to do, and that is to bring light. And Jesus here is saying, again, about something that's very, very simple. What does that import? What does this mean to us? According to the Word of God, who is the light of the world? I'm sorry?
Jesus.
Jesus, right? Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is not here. right? Not in a physical sense. So what would that mean? What does that mean?
Well, he said, look at, the light of the world.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. So Jesus is the light of the world, but ultimately Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." So it is Jesus, but it's also us. So Jesus is still living through us as we choose to reflect His light, or He reflects His light through us, however you want to look at it. Right, so the light of Jesus is still being spread as we choose to live as he has instructed us to live. So we are, He is ultimately the light, but as we respond in faith and live a life that is reflective of His, then we are, in a sense, well, in a real sense, where Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." So let me look at verse. Well, think about that again from the perspective of Jesus. If we are the light, so what does this mean about who is it that has the lamp? Who set the lamp when you think about it from that perspective? You know, if we're the light, if we're the light producer, then can you see Jesus will be the one who's, in a sense, bought the lamp, right? So I look at this verse in a sense that Jesus is talking about a perspective of you're a purchased item. And his intention is to utilize you to bring light into the world. You have a responsibility to be this light. I like that idea. This idea of ownership of me, right? He's purchased me. He's purchased you. And he's put you in places, in your families, in your communities, in your workplaces, wherever you're at. And it is his intention. Just as it is your intention, if you bought that fixture and put it somewhere special, He too, I believe, has somewhere special for you and has plans and intentions for you to bring about the light. So look at verse 17 again, which I think is a little bit different, a little bit different topic. "For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be not be known and come to light." So truth will prevail, right? Right judgment will one day be made. Let me ask you this. Does this encourage you or frighten you? To think that everything is going to be made manifest. There are no secrets. Now, there are secrets today, right? Between you and I. Secrets between friends, right? Co-workers. Between the boss and the employees. The government. Those who are under the authority of the government, both ways, right? Secrets. We have secrets. So what's Jesus here saying? At some point, those secrets are going to be released in some way, shape, or manner. So again, I can look at this as an encouraging thing, in a sense that there are times in my life where I felt like I was being mistreated or not being handled in a way that I felt like I should have been treated, right? Between somebody or some entity or somebody I work with or somebody I was with, they didn't understand or they misrepresented me, right? That you have people talking about you in a negative way. You ever feel that way? You know, all someone's out there, you know, wagging their tongues and putting me in a bad light. So I can be encouraged in this way, then in some way. In other words, I don't feel the need. If we trust in this scripture and what Jesus is saying, we shouldn't feel the need to always go around and try to present ourselves in the right manner. We should just live right and let the results of it, of our correct actions, you know, speak for itself, even though ultimately what we see on a day-to-day basis doesn't necessarily reflect what Jesus is saying here yet. But can you also see the negative side of that is it also means what my secrets, to some extent, right, are being revealed. It's interesting in wrestling with the Lord Jesus and his moment, his years on the earth, and some of the conversations that he had. Quite often, he knew the inner thoughts of those individuals, he expressed things, right? He would sometimes speak to somebody or answer a question that they were pondering that they hadn't yet spoke. And of course, that's on a much larger scale. The Lord knows our thoughts and what's, and so not only is it a matter of what we do, but there's also a reasoning behind what we do, right? Think about it in this way. I think this is a, you remember reading that Jesus says, when you're doing something kind, when you're doing your alms, I think is the word that's being used, but basically doing kind, something kind for somebody else. What's he say about your hands? Right? Don't let the right hand know what the left is doing. And maybe when I think about that, I think, well, when I am doing something right, if I'm truly doing it in a way that honors God, I shouldn't care, nor should I even attempt I shouldn't be wanting others to see or know that, right? I should be attempting to do things and in secret, in a sense, or at least in a way that doesn't put me on a pedestal, right?
Well, there's two or three places in the New Testament he basically refers to this.
Yeah.
You know, one is in prayer. You know,
yeah, yes.
The Pharisees and the long
moistures
and also, you know, the givers and presenting these big gifts or whatever.
Yeah.
With their two mites
and
different places he talks about.
Yeah. So he's looking to the heart of the decision that you're making and the heart of the actions, right? And for some reason, this really sticks in my mind. I know this is true, but there's a part of me that when I do something good, I want somebody to notice it. Am I the only, don't raise your hand, but am I the only one? When I do something nice for somebody, there's a part of me that wants to be noticed. I did this at a big part of me. I wrestle with that. I had a situation at work, and it's kind of a silly thing, but for some reason it really just stuck in my mind. We have this as a long story, but basically we have a place where there's where it's kind of a general area where certain I'm trying to think of a way to explain this without getting into too many details, not getting lost in the details. Basically, it's a communal place where we shower and wash our hands and stuff like that, right? So it needs to be supplied with certain soaps and things like that, right? And that comes from the storeroom. You got to go to the storeroom to get that there. And no one is directly paid to do that. So each of us just individually kind of choose once in a while to go and take it. And there's no supervisor telling us to, right? So periodically, somebody just volunteers on their own to do it. And I remember a while back, I went and got a cart, and I loaded up a whole bunch of it. You know, I thought, I'm going to take everything out of the storeroom and really get it stocked up, you know. And it's a good distance away where we're taking this to, you know, clear to the other end of the parking lot and even further, you know. So as I'm pulling this, for some reason, I'm thinking about that scripture, this idea of the left hand not knowing the right hand doing, you know. But yet I find myself... Well, I'm serious. There's something wrong with me, right? I'm serious. As I'm pulling that cart, I find myself slowing down when other people are around. Because I want them to see that I got the soap. Now, that's a silly little thing, but I'm just telling you, your preacher wrestles with that too, right? So what I'm saying is, in a sense, I feel like to really honor God, we should try to avoid wanting to be seen, you know. I'm not the only one that, you know, wrestles that, am I? But I remember thinking that, and I'm thinking, you dummy, what a goofy, why are you thinking that? It's such a silly thing. But we want to be acknowledged. So now Jesus is switching in his conversation here, Luke records in verse 18. He's switching from God watching and responding to us hearing and responding to him. Verse 18. He says, "Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away." Now, am I the only one that reads that and right off the bat? So that sounds kind of confusing. The one who has will receive more. The one who has not, it will be taken away. So, in a sense, they both have something, right? Because how could the second person have something taken away? The one who has will receive more. From the one who has not, even what he thinks will be taken away. Does it sound confusing to you all? Yes, go ahead, Joe.
It's talking about light.
Light? Okay, that's a good point. I think, yes, I think this is tied to the light.
Pride.
I'm sorry?
Pride.
Pride? Help me out. What do you mean by that?
Well, whoever has, if you have a lot of pride, to him more will be given, and you're going to become more boastful.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have that,
yeah.
If you do something good, you want people to say it.
Yeah, yeah. Then, now quit talking about me now.
Coming down on you now. Then it says, whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken away from him.
Yeah.
So even if you're kind of a humble person and you get that prideful moment, it'll be taken away.
Yeah, yeah, I see your point. And I understand it, and it's a that there's definitely some reasoning behind that. I have to say, from my perspective, I was thinking more from Joe's perspective, this idea that it's still the theme of the light, and that light, and if you go back, I'm sorry, were you going to say something, Angie?
Well, I thought that it was referring to, it talks about the talents.
Uh-huh, yes. Matthew 25, I was going to mention that, but you go ahead. I was
sitting here thinking the yeah. talents.
Yeah.
He will take from us and give it to this person that doesn't have as many.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Mom always told me, if you don't use your talent, he'll take it from you and give it to someone else.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and those talents, now we could go there again. It's another place where you could spend a lot of time just talking on that scripture. But I was thinking that same thing, because I feel like you go, and he uses that same, some of that very same terminology right here about stuff being taken away, the one who has and it's going to be taken away. And I think it encapsulates our faith as well, that if you have faith, and you're utilizing that faith, then it will grow, and there you know, so I can see numerous ways to take this. Now you know, when he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is something that you see Jesus saying a lot of times, and to me, simply, he's just saying, "Are you really hearing me now?" This goes beyond just words. There's something this is something that you need to be putting into practice, right? So truthfully, honestly, or obviously to some extent, there are some people hearing this who aren't truly putting it into practice. But I believe there is this, you know, from my perspective, go to John chapter 14, verse 21, with this idea of you having something and more being given. Let's focus on it from that perspective for a minute. So if you have something, and again, I'm thinking it from a light, or I'm thinking it from a faith perspective, some aspect or some relationship to God or being utilized by God. John chapter 14, verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. So whoever has my commandments, right, it's more than just having them. He who has them and keeps them. He who has what I have told you to do, you've heard it, and puts it into practice, this is your love for me, right? We love others. Our love for God and our love for our fellow human beings are different. There are some similarities to it, but our love for God is reflected by us following His commands. That's how we are loving Him. All right? That's how we do something for Him. We do something for God when we listen to His directives. Right? My wife is not necessarily loving me by me saying, "Hey, go do this, do this, do that, do that, do this." Now, you might see that some portion of love, but right, our love for one another is different. Our love for God is reflected, according to Jesus right here, is by simply doing what I tell you. You do what I tell you, that's how you love me. And then he goes on, "He who loves me," so this is talking about he who is hearing what I say, putting it into practice, living it out, will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. So I see this as a reciprocating process. And again, this is where I think I spoke about this Sunday, this idea, this concept that I think is continually spoken about in the Word of God, is this, that we're on a pathway of maturing that is never fully done, right, until the Lord takes us. So as we're putting these things into practice, and again, it kind of goes back to what you said too about the talents. We take whatever it is God has given us and we put it into practice, then we'll have more opportunities in some way, shape, or form to put those things into practice. The challenging thing is, I think sometimes we, from that perspective, we want to always think about it as big, right? As a pastor, that means, okay, now I'm preaching to, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So I'm speaking to like 12 of you. Well, if I'm doing the right thing, then I'm speaking to 30 next year, and then 40, and then 60, and then 100, and whatever. You know, Lord doesn't work that way. And some of the most powerful things, I think, that are being done in this world that are truly honorable to God are small things that you and I don't even really see. Now, there's nothing wrong with big things that impact a lot of people. But I'm saying, don't get too caught up in this idea of it always being this huge thing. I think, to me, some of the biggest things that we can ever do is just those simple little small things towards respecting and honoring the Lord in our actions on a day-to-day basis. So I see that as from, you know, I see what you're saying as well about pride and, you know, other aspects of our life. That eventually they're going to implode or explode, but from a light perspective, from our faith perspective, from our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have that, and as we allow ourselves, or should we follow our faith and respond to it, then there's some aspect of that continues to help us to grow. And I will say again about our anxiousness. I think I will say this for me. I know that as I spend more time focusing on the Lord and my his relationship with me and his work through me, I can find that is the place where I find my least amount of anxiousness, right? I can't say that it's went away necessarily. I might have moments. That's why I often think of that perfection of God is moments, right? We have moments, right? I've shared to you before where, you know, Jesus says, "Be perfect even as your Heavenly Father is perfect." And I think we can do that in moments. We can have those moments when we've truly followed him, ultimately in those moments from time to time.
I think a lot of what you say, a lot of times we want to make it more complicated than it needs to be. We have those moments, you say.
Our walk of faith. We complicate.
Yeah, he says, be like a child. Come in like a child.
Yeah.
That's how you have the moments of.
Yeah.
Look at him as your Father,
yeah,
as your Creator, and,
yeah,
and you feel that.
Yeah.
And don't yeah, try to be a sophisticated,
yeah,
person.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. I mean, that concept of being a child means, as a child, you're not supposed to have it all figured out.
Right.
It's okay to not have it figured out. It's okay to mess up, right? These things are going to happen anyway. And if that's a good point.
It's how you handle it.
Yeah. That's a good picture. Try to have that childlike faith. Now I want to share a little bit of a warning as we go into our next scripture. Sometimes in applying his word to our lives, in other words, choosing to do what is honorable, what is right, what is good, what is the perfect will of God, sometimes in the midst of doing that, we find ourselves dealing with repercussions that are negative, right? It happens. Look at 1 Peter 4:12. I just want to read one verse to you. First Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. And I'll just read the first part of the next verse, but rejoice. There's more there. You can go back and read that. Don't be surprised when things get rough. Didn't the Lord say, in this life you will have trouble? But be of good cheer. Basically, he's overcome. We too will overcome. It's good to remind ourselves of that. But sometimes, and I want to tell you, as much as I know this is true in the Word of God, sometimes I still feel I'm slapped in the face when I felt like I did exactly what I should do as best as I could, the best I understood the will of God, and things don't work out the way I think it ought to. I still struggle with that. And it's good to remind ourselves that sometimes. And I know I've shared this with you many times, but it's just something that means a lot to me. Jeremiah at one point was said, listen, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to say. And the Lord told him, nobody's going to listen. It's still just astonishing how encouraging to be put on that job, you know. Yeah, I want you to go out and I want you to build this. Now, it's not going to work. It's going to fall in. It's going to fall over. And everyone's going to make fun of you. Now go! You know? But the truth is, there are times when we've done the right thing, the absolute right thing, and the results are just not encouraging to us, right? We're not. So that's where we got to rely on doing our best to stay in tune with God. Be that child, be in tune with God the best way we can, and again, let the results be in His hands. So this idea, again, look in verse 18. Then his mother and his brothers came to him. So the family of Jesus. His mother and his brothers come to him. They could not reach him because of the crowd. So everyone was gathered around him and they're trying to work their way into the crowd. So he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. I think, I don't know about you, but sometimes it's good to be reminded that even people in the family of Jesus didn't like what he had to say. Matter of fact, Mark tells us, Mark 2:21, that there were some in his family that said, this is a quote out of Mark 3:21, he is out of his mind. Some in his own family. Jesus got it right. Right? He got it right. He got it right in a way that none of us has ever got it right. And yet some in his own family thought he was crazy. Now later on we see, now we don't know this to be a fact that everyone, but later on we see some of his family coming to full faith in him. And of course from the very beginning his mother was there. But some in his family thought he was crazy. And definitely, even his mother, I think, in this case might be an example. They're wondering what's going on, why it's happening. Now, the words of Jesus here, I'll be honest with you, just reading them sound a little bit uncaring. Let me read to you again in verse 21. So someone goes to Jesus and says, hey, your family's out here. They're looking for you. And Jesus says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Does that sound disrespectful to you? It does to me. But, you know, I mean, what would you think if it was your child? Jesus is not disrespectful. But it sounds that way. And I can't help but, now Luke doesn't record this. We don't know what happened next. But here's my vision, my version, I guess, and my thought of what's going on. We don't know what happened. I can't help but think that Jesus was saying that, and yet he still went and dealt with him in so many communities. I can't help but think that. That's just my view. It's not in there. So understand, I'll step over for a minute. It's not in the Bible, but I can't help but because I say Jesus is not. But just on the surface, that sounds disrespectful. But if we dig into that, what does that mean? What is that more directly? What's that mean to you and I? My mother, my brothers, are those who hear the word of God and do it.
We're not
the baby blocking for God. Yeah. That's right. So that's wonderful that for us in one hand saying, hey, you can't let anyone else, whether it's your spouse, your sister, your brother, your cousin, your neighbor, whatever, you can't allow them to get between you and the Lord. But it also says on the other side of that, the Lord doesn't allow others to get in the way either. You are no less important than the mother of Jesus and the brothers of Jesus. You are no less important. Yeah, that puts us all on an equal playing field. to the Lord. And I don't know about you, but that's pretty exciting to think of that, you know. And I was put there because of what he did for me, right? Not because of how great I am. I was put there. And anyone who's put their faith in Lord Jesus Christ was put there because of what he did for us. We're all right there. We're all part of one family. Speaking of an uncaring attitude, now we're going to get to that point of the scripture about anxiousness. Speaking of an uncaring attitude, have you ever had a moment where you felt as though God didn't care about your situation? Or at least it didn't seem like he did, right? You know? I want to tell you this. I believe wholeheartedly that we can be honest with God, right? What did I say earlier? He knows your hearts, he knows your minds, he knows your thoughts, he knows your reasoning. Be honest with God. If you're angry with God, then tell him. I'm not saying you need to necessarily scream it out and tell everybody, but have a conversation with him. Be honest. I was just having a conversation with someone else here in church about being legitimate and being, forget the word I used, but just being genuine. Be genuine with God. He already knows it anyway. But I'll be honest with you, I've had moments where I've been angry. This doesn't make sense, Lord. How can this be? Comparing myself. What about this person, Lord? Yeah, right? Disciples did that too, you know. Lord, what are you going to... When Peter said, ask, I think it was about John. What about John, Lord? All right? That's we're human. We have those thoughts. I've had those moments where I thought, Lord, are you seeing what's happening right here? Do you understand? The disciples experienced this directly. And we're going to read an example of this. Verse 22, and this is our last four verses for this evening. So we'll close with these verses and thoughts on it, and then we'll have a prayer request. Verse 22, one day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. Their boat was threatening to capsize. It was filling up. And they went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying one to another, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and water?" And they obey him. So here they are, these tough, you get this impression, these guys have been fishing for a while. They weren't just like me, I grab a John boat and go get in the middle of the water and try something. These guys were making a living at it. And I think when this storm came, and again, from what I've read, I've never been over there, but from what I've read, there's some pretty violent storms can roll through pretty quickly in the area of the Sea of Galilee. But whatever this was took seasoned fishermen and frightened them. The boat was in the danger of capsizing. And it says Jesus was sleeping. I don't know about you, but I just wonder if he was peeking a little bit, you know? To help them to learn something.
But I think the key to that is in the first verse when Jesus said, "Let us go over to the other side."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's.
But he said.
That is an interesting point. Yeah. 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 And I think about that. I was thinking that same thing from a different perspective, in that. If they were listening to some of what Jesus has said. Now, he's not yet fully, at least as far as Luke recording, he's not yet fully explained what's happened, what's going to happen in his life. But you would think they'd got an understanding that even beyond that, I didn't even catch that until you mentioned it, Joe, but even beyond that, there was more that the Lord had to do. So they should have found some comfort in that as well. But I think they also should find some comfort in what Luke has recorded up to this point. He has been casting out demons. He's led the disciples to a miraculous fish, a catching of fish, and he's raised a young man from the dead. All these things had been happening. So shouldn't that have built some faith in them? Let me ask you this. You put yourself in that situation, best way you could. Try to imagine you're a first century Jew fisherman, you know, and you're out there and you're sitting in the boat, and a storm comes that you feel is a little bit beyond what you're expecting to see, and Jesus is in the boat with you. How do you think you respond? Honestly, what do you think? I'd like to say I'd be that child, you know, it's like, yeah, it'll be all right. He's here.
I'd probably be waking him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel it before being in the Navy.
Oh, really?
Ship,
yeah.
And you step out on the deck.
Yeah.
From low light to no light, absolute zero light. And you feel the waves and the water hitting you and the boats going up and down. And you stand there until your eyes adjust, not knowing you're going to get washed over the side.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a tough little feeling for me.
Yeah. And all around you is water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. He rebuked them. What were they rebuked for, do you think? How would you define their rebuke? Do you think, let me think of asking this way maybe. Do you think their faith should have been getting across the sea, or that things were going to be all right either way? You know what I mean? I can't get into their minds and exactly what's being said here, but I can see, you know, two possibilities there. They should have felt comfort, you know, simply that the Lord was going to be there, or that they were going to physically get across from the storm. And again, what Joe said from the very beginning, this is what Jesus said was going to happen. They should have had some faith in that. So what do you see there, their rebuke? And was it a fair rebuke? I mean, Jesus did it, so yes, it's fair. I'll say that first off. But do you feel it's fair? Does it seem fair?
He didn't rebuke them, I don't believe. He rebuked the wind and the storm. And then he asked his disciples.
My book says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging.
Yeah, you're right. He did not. I'm putting words into the gospel as far as saying rebuked. He rebuked. He did not. But he does ask the question, where is your faith? Yeah. But you're right. That's a good point.
I don't believe that they really understood who he was.
Yeah.
Until after the resurrection.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the different things.
I
sometimes wonder, not trying to take up for Judas here, but they think he's the Messiah. They think he's the one that's going to come back and free them and take over. And Judas possibly, I'm putting words in the story now too. I will light the fire under the kettle.
Mm-hmm.
I'll.
To bring it about.
And then he will have to make his move.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, he did, but it wasn't the move that Judas expected.
Yeah.
It is what I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, you see them.
Yeah.
There's a song, I think it's called He Arose. And they talk about, you know, the disciples are in the room and they're apprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary comes to the door and knocks, and they run. They didn't. I don't think they understood.
Yeah. That yeah. Yeah. I mean, even at the moment of the resurrection, they had their doubts of. And the.
Thomas, put your hands here.
Yeah. It seemed as though they were fully. I get the impression they were fully committed to Jesus, but yet they didn't fully understand what Jesus was here to do. Yeah. Yeah.
They must have expected him to do something, or they would have done a roadkill.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's able to do it. Why aren't you doing this? And, which kind of gets back again to our own anxiousness, right? That's where I will say, and I truly I think I can say this confidently with all my heart, you know, that I truly believe the Lord can resolve whatever I'm dealing with, whatever's making me anxious, you know. And I feel like sometimes I'm like the disciples. I'm trying to shake them and saying, this is what you need to do, right? One of the challenges that we have, I think, in the different position with the disciples, and I think that Job made a good point here, you know, let us go to the other side. That to some extent, they knew the end result, or you feel like they probably should have, or had. Whereas you and I, where we're at, we don't know, right? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, the next day, right? I'm saying from their perspective, if they listened to what Jesus had to say and truly understood it, they knew that at least for a while, as long as he was physically with them, things was going to be okay to some extent, right? But then, of course, you know, when he left, things got pretty messy for them guys, and they really went through some of them died for their faith. So for you and I, when we are anxious in the middle of it, you know, here's where I stand. I believe with all my heart, whatever's going on, Lord's going to get me through it, right? In his own way, in his own time. But yet I also know at some point, because it is appointed unto man that we're all one point are going to find ourselves, this old body, we're going to give it up someday unless the Lord returns. I realize that one of those struggles that I'm facing at some point, someday, you know, I envision it's going to be way down the road, but that there will be a battle that I may wrestle with, you know, just like my mother-in-law a few weeks ago wrestled with, and it was done, right? But I praise the Lord Jesus Christ, and I say, I'm going to be okay either way, right, in the midst of it. And again, it goes back to having that child attitude that helps us to be less anxious in the midst. But I still think that we need, you know, like Angie said, we need individuals who are willing to, that we allow ourselves to be called out and shooken from one another, as well as talking to the Lord in the midst of the things in our life that can cause us to be anxious. Anybody else? Anybody else have anything to add?
Back to the child life things. I mean, he's given all of us the same kind of things. He must be too thick.
Yeah.
The child, if you tell a toddler the sky's blue,
yeah,
they believe you. If you tell them you're going to do something, they take you at your word.
Yeah.
That's how we should be with him.
Yeah.
Is that when his word says this,
yeah,
you believe,
yeah,
what it says.
Yeah.
And that's child life.
That's right.
And
until we prove different.
He also talked about when the disciples couldn't cast out that demon, he said, this kind cometh forth
through prayer and fasting. Yeah.
I believe it wasn't prayer and fasting to cast the demon out. It's to cast the doubt and unbelief out so that we can do
this. Yeah. Almost as though it's something that we've got to wrestle through,
yes,
before he releases.
Yeah, we need to fast and pray.
Yeah. There's something there. There's something that we gain from that. And you can say that looking here in this situation in the Sea of Galilee with the disciples, that there was something for them. I mean, was this... That's right.
I'm going to be gone.
That's right.
And you're going to have faith to kick in and say, peace be still.
That's right. Yeah. 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 I'm going to turn my recorder off here.